We keep hearing that big data is the new oil, but how can economists model these data-savvy firms? You're listening to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Some firms have grown very large very quickly through their intensive use of data. Can macro models successfully describe this new digital economy, and what will it tell us if they can? A new discussion paper attempts to characterise this new economy using a simple macro model. And today I'm talking to Laura Veldkamp, who's a professor of economics at Columbia Business School, a CEPR fellow, and also one of the creators of this piece of research. Laura, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Now, we can assume that firms that have better information make better decisions. It stands to reason. Do we really need to build a model to demonstrate this?
So models serve many purposes. One of the reasons that we thought it was useful to build a model is that models serve as frameworks for measurement. So eventually, we want to know not just does data help us make better decisions, but how much data and how much bigger does the firm get and how do we value this data and what should we look for to infer these things. Second, models help us consider competing effects. So at the end of the paper, we add these small data-savvy firms, and we wanted to ask how does the ability to gather and use data efficiently trade off with firm size? And then what if we start adding more pieces to the puzzle, like tradable data or experimentation? It starts to get complicated to think through, and models help us keep our thinking organized and highlight interactions we might not have seen otherwise. And third, models help us analyze policy. So data can tell us about the world as it exists now, but what if policy changed that world? We'd need to take some outcomes that we've seen and infer some outcomes in situations we haven't seen with a new policy. And structural models are a tool to do exactly that.
We've always had technology in these structural models, but we haven't explicitly looked at the role of data. So how do you bring that in?
Data is a form of information, and we do have models that have incorporated information. And so we use some of the older techniques about modeling information as informative signals. In this case, they were informative signals about the best type of good for a firm to produce. And so the more data you have, the more information you have to guide your decisions.
Looking at the way you've built this model, if I'm correct, you assume that firms generate their own data and that more production generates more useful data. Aren't both of these assumptions quite strong?
Absolutely. There are lots of sources of data in the world. Of course, a firm's own sales are one important source of data, but there are lots of things that they can observe out there. But one thing to keep in mind is if I want to look at a piece of data in the world, let's say the GDP numbers or some inflation statistics or my sector output, and infer what does that mean for me, I should know something about my own outcomes. Because otherwise, when GDP goes up by 1%, I want to know how much sales am I going to do next quarter. And to make that inference, it's helpful to have some of my own data as well.
Your headline result is that there are more large firms in the economy when data-intensive firms can make use of that data. But why don't we just end up with one enormous firm that makes everything and generates all the data?
That sounds very dystopian. That's a possibility. I think it's unlikely one firm would produce everything. There's some span of control issues that would probably get in the way. But I do think we're seeing a trend towards a small number of firms controlling a lot of data. Now, is that likely to go to an extreme where one firm controls all the data? I think that's unlikely because I think there's always some extra value for information that other people do not have. That can be particularly valuable, let's say, to financial market participants that want to make trades that others don't. And so we're likely to see a large data provider serving a lot of data needs, but also some small providers that provide niche products that have extra value.
You also model what happens when these tech-savvy firms enter a market that's dominated by traditional incumbent firms that don't use data so intensively. And we can think of many examples of that in the real world today. So what does happen?
Well, in short, tech savviness beats size. So you can start small, and if you can finance a period of rapid growth and survive that, you can come out more competitive and grow large very quickly if you know how to use data better than your competitors.
If we are looking at a world in which data intensiveness means that we will have some very large data intensive firms. Is this bad news for small firms in the economy?
It depends. If a small firm competes head to head with a large firm that uses their data really efficiently, that's going to be a tough battle. But if a small firm discovers a niche where they don't have so many competitors, or they take on a data dinosaur, then maybe not. Maybe data can allow small firms to grow bigger faster.
This is a new model, and you said in the paper you deliberately made it as simple as possible. So in what directions are you going to develop this and take it? I assume that you will now be taking this on and developing it for some of the purposes that you were talking about at the beginning.
So right now I'm working on a slightly different piece of the puzzle, which is how to use some indirect clues to measure some of these objects. So use things like hiring and wages from workers who work with data to try to infer the amount of data firms might be collecting and the value of that data.
And can you incorporate that with this part of the research? Are you going to make them into sort of one whole, or is this going to end up as a collection of different models for different purposes?
I think we start out with different pieces of the puzzle, and then the goal is that this gets brought together as one big framework, sort of similar to what's happened in macroeconomics, where we thought about measuring capital and labor and things separately, and then we developed some consistent frameworks over time. I don't know that I'll be the one to do all of that. I think probably not. This is a joint community effort from a lot of people working in this area.
Now, you did say at the beginning, Laura, to make this useful, you have to be able to validate it against what's happening in the world. But in real life, we're finding it very hard to measure the amount and the value of data that firms produce or acquire. How is it going to be possible? Will it ever be possible to match what we see in the model to what's happening in the outside world?
I'm optimistic. Valuing capital stocks was also a daunting task. Think about the task of counting and valuing all of the machines and buildings and bridges in the whole economy. Measurements aren't perfect even today, but we do measure these things, and those measures turn out to be pretty useful. So measuring bits is not harder than measuring all of that physical capital in the economy. But we do need some good methods to guide our measurement, to figure out which bits to count and how much to value them. And theories are the first step in developing these measurement frameworks because they tell us what to look for.
The digitization of the economy and the types of firms that are going to succeed in this new economy that we have, they are already a huge challenge to regulators. And we're seeing that play out at the moment. And we know that that's going to continue. So is it your intention that models like this will help develop regulation for the correct responses, the appropriate responses for what we're seeing?
Absolutely. But we have a ways to go before we get there. We need models that are richer than the simple one I wrote down. We need models that have measurement strategies so that we can quantify these effects and figure out how big are the benefits and how big are the costs. But absolutely, developing frameworks is the first step in thoughtful policy analysis.
How long do you think this is going to take? Because, of course, the outside world's moving very quickly at the moment, a lot faster than academic research tends to move.
I think we're making some basic steps very quickly, but this will be a new feature that permeates macroeconomic thinking for a long time to come, and it'll be a long time before we get all the pieces of the agenda in place.
The change in the nature of firms, the change in the nature of the economy is a challenge to macroeconomic theory and theorists as well. So is it an exciting time for you, Laura, or is it a scary one considering the type of work that you do?
Oh, definitely exciting. I've always been fascinated by information and its role in the economy. It's much more fun to shake things up than it is to keep thinking inside the same paradigms. So I'm very excited to be part of this new effort, and I hope that lots of people will come join me and contribute to the effort to integrate data in our standard economic frameworks, and we'll see if it works.
And it is interesting, as you were saying, that you're dusting off some theories that maybe people haven't worked with for a while.
That's right. I think it doesn't make sense to try to reinvent everything from scratch if we had some good ideas that we could repurpose to think about this new economy. So I'm a big fan of building on the shoulders of giants and taking ideas that were already out there and saying, what can we make of them in this new world?
Well, Laura, it sounds like you've got quite a lot of work to do, so I'll let you get back to it. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
there's clearly going to be a lot of work done on this topic, as Laura was saying, in the next few years. So have a look at the paper to get in on the ground floor. It's very short. It is DP13489, and it's called Big Data and Firm Dynamics. The authors are Laura, Mariam Farboudi, Roxana Mihet, and Thomas Philippon. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. If you subscribe on your podcast platform, you'll get a new episode every Friday. And check out the archive at voxeu.org/vox-talks.